I see. And but you know, we, as I said, we were supposed to be speaking to Mr. Richard Biles, who was the co-chair of their oversight committee. And you talk about having an oversight committee would be a positive thing, certainly in terms of Jamaica, because it really kept things on even keel. Don't you see the social partnership doing something like that here, or some committee of the social partnership? But before you answer that, sir, sorry, before you answer that, let us take a commercial break and I'll come right back to you. And we need to say here that this program is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries, Inc.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all. At Williams Metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Thank you very much, Mr. Herbert. I understand just now from Ronnie that I was talking to, I was not even talking to you because you were not there.
Oh, there.
Yes, but the question I was asking is, what do you want to see, and what are some of the things you want to see in the program, and what are some of the things you don't want to see? And then I went on to make the point of the oversight committee. If the oversight committee that they had in Jamaica, if something like that similarly can be done by the social partnership here in Barbados.
Okay, so the first thing we really want as a country from the IMF, of course, is their money. We need support. We need access to cheap loans, and we need foreign exchange. So that's what we want from them. We know what they want from us is they want us to be able to repay that loan within the time frame that we agree. So they want to see that we have a framework, that we have a set of policies and a fiscal discipline, which is going to allow us to do what we say we'll do. Now, typically the IMF will, therefore, before they lend you, they will want you to guarantee or commit that you will meet certain fiscal targets. And their loans, drawing down on their loan will be conditional on that. Now, what Jamaica did over and above that is they set up a bit more. I suppose the part is that Jamaica also, in restructuring their local debt, they did so voluntarily, in that they asked the creditors to voluntarily turn in their bonds and be issued with a new bond. And the condition of that voluntary turning in and that voluntary exchange was that the creditors were given the lead role in an oversight committee, where they could now have the ability to check that the Jamaica government was holding up their side of the bargain. They were putting in the policies, they were reforming the economy so that they would be in a position to repay this new debt. And it went pretty far. I think the oversight committee was allowed to have its own employee within the Ministry of Finance who had direct access to information. So what it behaved as was essentially a watchdog, but I think it went further than that, and it also became a body which actually tried to sell the policies that the government had committed to the population.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still there?
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely.
What happened. Mm-hmm. So I think they really functioned, and what I should say is this oversight committee was then given the right or the obligation to issue a quarterly newsletter, mm-hmm, to the entire Jamaica population, commenting on what government had done and to what extent it had met the fiscal targets that it had committed to. And I think this has proven in Jamaica to be a very powerful check and balance, where the population now feels that this information that they're given is totally unbiased. It doesn't come from government. It doesn't come from the opposition. It comes from people who are unbiased, and therefore they can be confident that they're being told the whole truth. So I think it's a very important, I think it could be a very important check and balance.
Yes, that sounds really great. I have Mr. Bernie Weatherhead here on the line, so I'll let him join us. Mr. Weatherhead, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It's nice to hear you. You're in a call with myself and Mr. Charles Herbert.
And thank you.
And I'd like to take, I didn't know if I said it to Mr. Herbert, but I'm going to certainly say it to you, a happy Father's Day.
Same to you, my friend.
Yes.
And to Mr. Herbert. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Weatherhead, I was wondering about the whole, you're into tourism, and there, you may have some concerns that came up in the budget. Would you like to talk about that?
I'd be happy to speak about it.
Yes.
You know, I just wanted to actually say at the very beginning that, for one, within a very long time, we have a government that is sitting with us and trying to find out what is the best way to go. And they obviously have a destination that they need to reach. But at least they're conversing with private sector in every possible way. And as you have said a couple of times on this program, everybody has to realize that every Barbadian today is in the same boat. It is not them and us or party or anything. We're all in the same boat. We are at the bottom of the lake. And this country has to be got back to the stage where Barbadians traveling overseas can hold, especially in the Caribbean, can once again hold their heads up. Because Barbadians, and I travel the islands a lot, and I'm beaten up all the time by other islanders who say, Bernie, but you all guys up there have to be some sort of jokers. And I would love to be able to get Barbados, see Barbados back where it is. And there is no easy route. The present government, and even if it was the past government, would have a major difficulty getting Barbados back. But at least they are trying. They're conversing with us. Tourism, of which I am in up to my eyeballs, we are taking the major blow of this thing. But I believe that everybody is going to be in due course, will have to contribute to everything. The government is taking a big chance by increasing, and I think Charles during the program touched on this. They're taking a big chance of going out and hit tourism hard, because you could have a decline through it. But we in tourism don't believe that there will be. And we believe that as long as we produce the product that is necessary in this world, people are going to come here. It's no sense saying that you can't do this and you can't do that, and then you have sewage flowing up on the South Coast. And, well, nothing to do with every other service that don't run. So we all are going to have to put our minds to it, and Barbadians of every color, class, creed, Barbadians of every belief are going to have to put the back now to say we are going to go forward. And that is my call. My call is like you saying, let's put everything behind us. The election is over. Don't let's be a United States all over again. Listen to CNN and you hear one direction. Listen to Fox News and you hear another one. Let's all get together and put our back to the grindstone and say, well, let's move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, sir. can you give us some idea to Mr. Weatherhead of, since you are in tourism, what are the things that were being said about Barbados in terms of how the impact of that sewage running on the South Coast and the advisories, what's an impact you think they would have had on this country's tourism product?
I can tell you firsthand that, and I have said this to the past government, that it would not, our problems would not be reflective in the winter that has just gone, although this problem was going on prior to the last winter. This problem is going to be reflected in this summer and this coming winter, where people came because they had already booked. But the people that left here and told their stories overseas, and those people that were here and experienced this problem, are not rebooking. And if there was a survey done on the industry and people coming back, they will see exactly what I mean. And to go further, Barbadians that lived other than on the South Coast were not driving up on the South Coast. Many Barbadians, and I said, well, look, come up and have lunch with me at Savannah or something. They would say, no, Bernie, we're not driving up there. So, you know, we are paying the price in the summer right now. It's not only the South Coast project, but it does, the South Coast problem has had an impact. And that's the problem with tourism. Tourism is not only one problem, one specific problem, usually, that creates a downturn. It's a number of things that attribute to a major downturn. But sewage has been a big one, and especially for the South Coast. And it was not only the South Coast that it downturned. Mm. Yes, to the West Coast, were very clear in speaking to us at times that, you know, they're not prepared to come back with sewage flowing in the country free for all.
But so you're intimating basically that we may have a poor summer as well as poor winter coming up.
Well, it may not be poor because things have changed drastically, or are in the process of changing drastically. And I understand from government that they are going to do everything possible to make it known that the sewage problem is corrected. And that is when it's corrected, not when it is patched, when it's corrected. And they're going to market it, say Barbados is 100% operating, and we might have lost some guests who are booking elsewhere because of it, but we will have other guests that will book Barbados because we do have the air seats that we need coming in.
I have a question here for you, Mr. Weatherhead. This person on WhatsApp wants to know, what do you think about the move to going to the IMF? He wants to know if you're opposed to that.
I am 100% behind it. Barbados can benefit. Well, better say this first. There was nowhere else to go by any government but to the IMF. The IMF can offer Barbados many things, that many facilities lots of them not even at a cost, because when we do all sorts of studies to be able to go and borrow money, the IMF will do those studies for us for nothing. So it is the IMF is painted as a big monster, but yet every country in the world ends up by going to them too late. Barbados has been to the IMF before, and nobody cried because it was done quietly. We are at the bottom of the tank now that we are going to in a much bigger way. But I am happy to see that the new government has put in place measures that I am sure that are somehow in some guidelines of what the IMF has been talking to about before, and that they can then go and meet with the Prime Minister could go and meet with the IMF this week, gone and be able to most probably say, I am on the way to doing certain things. So we might end up by getting some advance money before we get the big money. But the IMF is not some big frightening animal out there now.
All right,
that's my belief.
All right, so thank you. Mr. Herbert, as I said, we don't have a program in place yet. In fact, negotiations now have to start, and they're going to be tough negotiations because we are literally going cap in hand. But what is the major takeaway that you would like Barbadians to have from this whole experience of going to the IMF right now? What would you want to say to the average Barbadian?
Well, the first thing is we should want never to have to go to the IMF. You know, the difficulties that we have to face are not because of the IMF. They are because we've allowed our fiscal position to sink to where it is. So in the future, we should all want a fiscal discipline which never lets us get here again, because that's the best. Has nothing to do with the IMF. It has to do, the difficulty we are going to face is because we've allowed our national debt to rise to where it is, our fiscal position to slip to what it was. We should never want to let that happen again. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the right measures of checks and balances, but it should not be possible for any government formed by any party to take us down the road that we've been again. There should be checks and balances. There should be ways to trigger elections, to trigger resignations, to make deficits illegal after a certain point. We should just never want this level of indiscipline and continued deficit. Because, you know, every country has a disaster and may have 1 or 2 years, but it's this continued deficit that was allowed to run year after year after year for such a long stretch. So we shouldn't want to go here ever again. And I'm hoping that the current government is open to the ideas of checks and improving the checks and balances within our society, because I think we're all tired of things that didn't work.
All right, thank you, sir. And Mr. Weatherhead, I'll put the same question to you. You employ quite a few people in your hotels, in your insurance companies, in your car rental businesses. What are some of the concerns that you're hearing from your employees about going to the IMF, and what are you telling them, and what would you want to tell Barbadians about going to the IMF?
Well, I think that I would, in fact, virtually repeat what Charles just said. And you don't want to have ever to go to the IMF. That's like myself in private business having to find myself going to I don't want to refer to the IMF as a loan shark, but the point is that you go to somebody that you can't get finance from anybody else. So, and that's where we are at. And so I would tend to repeat the same thing, mm-hmm. but I do believe that the IMF is maybe the main ones or the only ones that can help pull us out of this situation we're in. And because at least we will get low-cost financing from them if we can meet their requirements and if we can negotiate a reasonable deal. So the new government has a big job in presenting it. And I have very few dissenters in my group of companies, and I believe I employ a lot of people. So I have very few dissenters. The ones that are on the losing side of election have all said, well, we would have had to go there too. So I think everybody is just waiting to hear, and hopefully, because of the government taking a position that they're talking to the public, we will be afforded to hear. We will be hearing from the government step by step as we go into this program, and we will be asked to support the direction going in it. So I think the big thing here is welcome dialogue for the first time for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And gentlemen, I'll put this last question here to you, and Mr. Herbert, I do really appreciate you staying on, because I won't disclose where you are, but the fact is that that I am really pushing it here. But this
is at Savannah having Father's Day lunch.
All right. I have this thing, this question here on WhatsApp, which I want to share with you, and which I would really like you to, as much as you would want to answer this. A person says, "Sir, people want answers. There can be no moving on or solving of problems until we address what or who caused the problem. By not addressing the first, then you are burying your head in the sand, sir." Would you want to respond to that?
I believe that we do need to do some analysis, but I just wouldn't like to say first, because these things take a long time. We've all seen inquiries that have gone on forever. Job number one is fix the economy. If we can do investigations in parallel, I agree. I actually, the more I talk to people around the island, I think the population is demanding to know why. And I certainly support it. I think that they deserve it. But I wouldn't like it to obsess us and to stop us fixing the economy, because right now, where we are, job number one is get the island back on the right track. So we've not forgotten it, or I'm hoping the government has not forgotten it. And I do agree with the caller or the writer that the country is demanding it. But I would disagree with him when he says that it's the first thing that we have to do. It's going to take too long, and we need to do job number one, get the economy going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Weatherhead, your take?
Again, I agree with Charles 100%, but I would make a little addition, because a lot of people are asking this question, and that is whether it's government or whether it's private enterprise or individuals that have helped us get to the bottom of the pit, they should be dealt with. But that's not the first thing to do. The first thing is to try to turn this country around. But meanwhile, do what you have to do and find. And so there's a very clear statement that this country is not going to permit these things to happen in the future. They're definitely not going to thing. I think this election would have sent a very clear message. So I think the government has a very clear mandate as to where they're to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for participating. I truly am sorry that we haven't been able to reach Mr. Richard Biles from Jamaica up to date. We're still getting out. All circuits are busy now. I haven't heard that one in a long time, but of all days, it's going to happen. It's going to happen when we have to make those connections. the parting shot from both of you, I would like to get a parting shot from both of you as to basically your feel for Barbados. What do you want for Barbados? And this, it can be personal or it can be professional, but I'd like to have a parting shot from you. Let's go with Mr. Beatherhead first.
Very simply, Barbados has a strong corporate background and have had strong government in the past. And Barbados will rebound. And we will get back to as good as or better than before. And don't let anybody have a doubt about that. And we will do it in cooperation, private sector will do it in cooperation with the government and make sure it happens as soon as possible.
All right, so thank you, Mr. Weatherhead. Mr. Herbert.
Shankar, I've never been approached by a Mercedes salesman, but I'm told that the catchphrase that they use is the value is higher than the price. And I think that's the challenge for Barbados. I dream of a Barbados now that is going to be reborn, where we are going to become, we're going to add the value that we have to everyone who uses Barbados, whether it be an offshore company, whether it be a tourist, that we actually change our value proposition. We, you know, whether it be Barbados is now green, socially responsible. I think tourists want more than a beach. They want to come to a country that they feel good about. And I think this is our opportunity to largely re-engineer the things in Barbados that have needed changing for a long time. That we should use this opportunity, not just as a negative, but as a time to think about how our tax system works, how our government works, how our private sector works. Anything, how can we do it better? How can we have a better value proposition to the world? I think this is critical if we never want to go here again, and if in fact we want to do better than we've ever done before. And I think now is the time, and crises often create these opportunities. So it's not just an opportunity to rebound, but for us to rebound and be even better than before.
Oh, great. I would ask you just one last question, Mr. Herbert. What about, you're talking about getting things better than before, and one of the things that we keep mentioning is about alternative energy and a green economy. And yet, I get the impression, based on how our taxes are so are structured still, that we're just talking about it and not really doing enough to get that really going. What is your take on that?
Well, Frank, I believe that, and certainly at the Social Partnership, we have talked about it. This is one of the growth areas that we think would be the easiest to help fuel some immediate growth. We think there are a lot of sustainable energy projects that have just been caught up in red tape for a long, long time. And we think that if we can loosen some of the tape and get some of these projects going quickly, they can be one contributor to a growth in the economy. And we think it can happen quickly. We think there are a lot of projects out there, whether it be biomass projects from sugarcane, whether it be windmills, whether it be more solar power, whether it's just efficiency, whether it's electric vehicles. And I think that being a small country, it's relatively easier for us to move faster than big countries. And I think this can be one element of appeal where tourists or people doing business with Barbados feel that they're doing business with a country that is environmentally conscious in the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Mr. Bernie Weatherhead. He's the head of the Sun Group, and of course, Mr. Charles Herbert is the head of the private sector organization and part of the Social Partnership. And they have been given their take on the whole approach to the IMF. As I said at the beginning of the program, we had intended to speak with Mr. Richard Biles, who was the co-chairman of the Economic Program Oversight Committee of the IMF Jamaica program, and they used to, they basically made sure that everything, that all the ideas that were set out and all the targets that were supposed to be achieved and were agreed on between the government and the IMF, that they were met, and they had the authority to issue communiques to the public so that the public knew exactly what was happening. They didn't have to wait on the government to hear from the government. The as co-chair, because he was the other chairman, was the governor of the Central Bank of Jamaica, and together they can issue their communiques and they could let the public know. And it was very positive. And as I said today, Jamaica is now the poster child for the IMF. At 12:30, of course, we have to hit break for the latest, and we'll be right back after the 12:30 news. In the interim, we'll be trying to see if we can reach Mr. Biles, and if we can't, we certainly will return and we will have a further discussion on Brass Tack Sunday. Thank you very much.